Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Saxof Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vinay Menon from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ria. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, it's my pleasure to host the senior management of Saxof. We have with us Avantika Krishna, Chief Sales Officer of the company, and Mr. Neeraj Kumar Ganeriwal, CFO and CEO of the company. Mr. Aditya Krishna will not be able to join due to some personal emergency. Now I will hand over the call to Ms. Avantika for her opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Vinay. Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the performance of the fourth quarter and financial year 2025. Let me start off by briefing you on the key business highlights of the fourth quarter and full year ended 2024-25, after which my colleague Neeraj, COO and CFO, will brief you on the financials. As you all might be aware, the IT sector has been facing several headwinds globally. Despite these, I'm pleased to say that we managed to report a good performance during the periods under review. During financial year 25, we made significant strides by making strategic investments in building AI frameworks and accelerators that help our clients accelerate innovation, enhance engineering productivity, and confidently scale their AI initiatives. Our AI accelerators, including SacPilot, Quality 360, Solid Hub, and Saccelerate, these accelerators enable transformation for our customers by providing strong foundation for automation, agility, and intelligent operations across the software product engineering lifecycle. Parallelly, we accelerated our go-to-market initiatives by onboarding high-caliber sales talent and expanding our client partner network. These efforts have been aimed at deepening customer relationships, improving market coverage, and driving sustainable growth. We're beginning to see early traction from these initiatives. A notable highlight of the year was the addition of a new client in the banking and financial services vertical, contributing an annual contract value of approximately $500,000. This win not only validates our focused approach to high-growth verticals, but also demonstrates the growing relevance of our digital solutions. On the financial front, the board has recommended a final dividend of INR 0.40 per share, 40% of face value of INR 1, bringing the total dividend for financial year 25 to INR 0.80 per share, 80% of face value, in line with our commitment to delivering shareholder value. Now I would request my colleague Neeraj to give you the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Avantika, and thank you everyone for taking the time and joining our earnings call today to discuss the results of the fourth quarter of the financial year 2025 under review. For the fourth quarter of the financial year 2025, revenues were reported at approximately INR 240 crores, reflecting a robust year-on-year growth of 23.1%. The operating EBITDA for the quarter stood at INR 36 crores, which is 9.3% increase year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins at 15.17%. The net profit for the quarter was around INR 30 crores, which grew 29.4% year-on-year and 11.1% quarter-on-quarter, with the profit after tax margins being at 12.52%. For the full financial year 2025, the revenues were reported at INR 883 crores. This represents a growth of around 15.9% year-on-year. The operating EBITDA for the year stood at INR 146 crores, which grew by 7% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margins for the year were at 16.56%. The net profit was at around INR 109 crores, which grew year-on-year by 13.1%, with the PAT margins being at 12.32%. Now coming to revenue split by geography for the current year, the Americas contributed to 42% of our total revenues, whereas Europe contributed 23%, and the remaining 35% came from Asia-Pacific and other regions. The on-site revenue continues to be at 45% and offshore at 55% of our total revenues. The revenue split across verticals for the financial year 2025 are as follows. BFS contributed to about 30% of our revenues, emerging verticals around 46%, logistics 13%, and commerce contributed to about 11%. Coming to some of our customer metrics, Saxoft has around 15 customers of USD $1 million plus revenues. The total employee count at the end of the quarter stood at 2,618, out of which 2,373 were technical, with the utilization level of the employees, excluding trainees, being at 85% for the financial year 2025. That concludes the updates on the quarter, and we can now open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Vinay Menon from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So just one thing, sir, we have now mentioned this emerging vertical in this quarter. So, and you changed the segmental data a bit. So can you give me some clarity, because we should not mention this as a vertical in the earlier quarters. So what has changed as such?
Hi, Vinay. So nothing has really changed with regards to the segments. The focus is still the same. We've just renamed them. And so emerging verticals originally was high-tech media and telecommunications, or high-tech media utilities, HMU.
Okay. Great. That is helpful. And in terms of growth guidance, any guidance for 26? Because, we are seeing some relief from tariff issues and also. Any kind of guidance you can give for 26?
So Vinay, it's very difficult to give a guidance, but obviously we have targets, and the objective for the current year for the management team is at least to do a growth which we have done in the previous year, and might be try and do better. But at a high level, we are looking at a range of 1,000 crores to 1,100 for the financial year 26.
Okay, that really helps, sir. And in terms of verticals, what verticals will be, leading this? Like, what could be the main drivers from vertical side?
In terms of verticals, I think one of the focus areas, whilst Avantika did mention that, the emerging verticals is more of a rebranding for high-tech media and utilities, I think that is a vertical where we will see a lot of traction, growth, and progress. That is also primarily because of the recent investments which we have done. If you note the acquisitions which we have done on the Salesforce and on the ServiceNow area, which is around intelligent products, we do believe that a lot of work in these areas will be on the new age vertical, and that's a vertical where we might see some significant growth in the coming year. Duly supported by BFS, but I think BFS and emerging verticals should see a better growth.
Okay. Thank you for that clarity, sir. I'll join the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Vikas Srivastava from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. You know, what I'm hearing on the call, first question is this, that, you know, we are still growing in the range of 16%. A couple of years back, we had made a mission statement of $500 million by 31st March 2030, if I remember, which would require us to compound at about 26, 27, 20, you know, somewhere in that range percent CAGR per year to get there. We've done about $100 million this year, the last financial year. So what are we looking at? Have we, is that vision, is that target, is that goal still in sight, or is it something which we are not reaffirming now? And even with your current target of 1,000 to 1,100 crores, which you are talking about, we are still looking at, you know, 10 to 15% growth per year, which is nowhere close to what our vision statement was, if I may call it a target or a vision statement. And the other thing was that, you know, with your, that was the first question. Second question was that your stock options, which are allotted to your employees for the last 2 years, most of it would still be probably a little underwater. How do you find stock options and retention of senior management, you know, as an instrument of compensation playing out when, at least optically right now, the stock options are not, you know, accretive to employee compensation for the last 2 years?
So Vikash, I'll try and answer the first question and then I'll hand it over to Neeraj to answer your second. The first question on your vision statement of 500 million by 2030, you know, we are, as a company, we are confident that we are still going to make that vision that we promised. Yes, we have, you know, as you know, that there are headwinds in the U.S., and that's why the guidance that, you know, Neeraj has given is basis that, you know, as we don't know what will happen in the U.S., you know, Trump keeps changing his mind every day, so we're all uncertain. You know, I think the last 1 year, we have really focused on our positioning, and so we have invested a lot of time in our AI accelerators, like I mentioned, but we've also invested a lot on the platform side, and that is what we're seeing, you know, over the next 2 years will definitely build our pipeline. So we are, yes, we are being a bit conservative on the guidance, but that's due to the headwinds that we're seeing. And but I think from a confidence level, we're seeing pipeline build, and as of now, no negative impact.
Coming to your second part of the question, because on the ESOP options, you've rightly pointed out that, you know, most of them would be under the water. But I think that's the nature of these this compensation criteria. The management team and the senior people are very, very committed. And, you know, other than a couple of them, the key management team and number of them have been with the company for 10 plus years. So they've seen cycles, and I think it's only a temporary cycle. The team is committed, and all of us are working towards that goal of $500 million. And everyone knows that as we move forward and we are inching closer to those targets, these options will give the return which they expect. So it is definitely not a deterrent. In fact, any new senior hire we look at, they are in fact more keen to get options because this is still considered one of the most rewarding mechanisms.
Okay. So if I may just repeat what you said, I'm sure that we are still in the next 5 financial years at an average of the CAGR of anywhere between 25 to 30% is not off the, it is not off the table. It's still a distinct, clear possibility or a goal which the management is aimed at. That is one takeaway from me. The second question was, what are we talking about in terms of EBITDA margins, etc.? You know, we've been investing in sales and platforms for a while now. We were, if I remember right, and I could be wrong at the time, said that we should be looking at about 18% in this competitive market. So are we still saying that? Is there pressure on margins as the market become more competitive, or do we need to pass on more? Those were the two questions which I had.
So the first one, yes, just to, you know, affirm what Avantika had said and your statement that yes, we are still looking at the 500 million. The CAGR still is expected at 25-30%, CAGR being CAGR. So 1 year could be lower, other year could be higher. But as a team, we are all still focusing on that number. It's not a moving target. And we are constantly looking at how we can achieve the 500 million. On the second point, EBITDA, yes, 18%. In fact, in the current year itself, you would have seen it's slightly come down. We are closer to the 16.5%. Whilst we are growing and reinvesting, there will be a short-term drop. That's mainly because of hiring of the salespeople, investment in accelerators, investment in the center of excellence capabilities which we are building up. But, you know, those are maybe a year or year and a half phenomenon. And once they start kicking in results, it should go back to the 17-18%. But rightly said, for the current year, we were at around 16% plus, and for the coming year, we could be only on a similar range, if not higher.
Okay, if I may, thank you. If I may follow up with a few more questions.
I did see
in the investors' shareholder, there is a 2% shareholding by FPI. Is there something new in this corner, or has it been carried forward from the 2% FPI shareholding? Has it been carried forward from previous years?
They have been there. So the FPIs have been in and out, and their shareholding has been continuous. It may not be the same. It may be the some of them would have come, some of them would have gone. But the shareholding of FTI, FII has been around this percentage or slightly higher in the last 24-36 months.
Got it. And in terms of, you know, we our sales team, we're doing a lot of hiring in the last 2 years. In terms of any attrition, have we lost people? And that was one question. And another question was on, are we in this, you know, we've been done a lot of small acquisitions. Are we now talking about more acquisitions in the pipeline in the near future, or are we talking about organic growth? Is the emphasis more on organic growth now to meet our targets of turnover?
So on the sales side, we are constantly investing in the sales team, and more importantly, sales team on the ground in the U.S. But we are turning around quite quickly. So if the performance is not good from these resources, you know, we take decisions fast and we replace. So, you know, our churn rate is good, and, you know, we will act fast when we need to.
In terms of acquisition, because, you know, whilst we have done a good set of acquisitions, have acquired a lot of capability, and the focus will be on the organic. But historically, we have seen that the growth has come both from organic and inorganic, and if there is something which we come across as a good asset, we will be happy to acquire. But currently the focus is more on the organic side, especially with the intelligent platforms, the Salesforce, the ServiceNow capabilities which we have acquired. I think that's going to be one of the push factors in the current year for us.
That's good to hear. So one last question. In terms of all our acquisitions, have they completely been integrated, you know, into SACSoft? Everything is done and dusted as far as integration is concerned, and whatever benefits from these acquisitions should be now accruing now towards the consolidated SACSoft?
Of course. So, you know, we have a very clear plan for integration, because then it's a 30, 60, 90-day plan, and by the 90th day, the teams are integrated, the sales team, delivery team, support team. So I think whatever we have acquired is fully integrated. In fact, the good thing is some of the growth which has come in this quarter is also as a result of the capability which these acquisitions have brought in, taking them to the existing set of customers. So, you know, it's been a good integration, which we feel, and it's going in the right direction.
So therefore, what you're saying is that the synergies, let me just finish. The synergies of should show in full now going forward. Not only the integration, but the synergies you were looking for.
Absolutely, Vikas.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This question which was just asked previously on this, your ambition to be $500 million. I'm sorry, new to the company, so maybe
we're sorry to interrupt, sir, we cannot hear you clearly.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Not clearly, sir.
Is it any better now?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was on your aspiration to be a $500 million sales company, top line company by FY30. So, sir, given this is, and ma'am, this is a very crowded space in terms of IT services, so what gives us that edge? What is the niche that we are focusing on? I'm sorry, I'm new to your company, so maybe this question is very basic. But just wanted to get your perspective on what are the white spaces or what are the gaps or areas that you are going after where you're seeing that this opportunity to scale up from 100 million to 500 million.
Sure, Rohit. So as you're new to the company, I'll give you a little bit of history. We have traditionally been focusing on domain-specific technology solutions. And the domains that we focused on were, a small handset of them. Like one was banking and financial. The second is high tech, media and utilities. The third is logistics and the fourth is commerce. And the last, I would say, 5 to 6 years, we were focusing on these four mainly and really building our solutions that are catered to these industries in specific. Very recently, maybe the end of last year, we engaged a small consultancy firm and felt it was a need to transform in this very evolving industry that we're in. AI being the front of everything, we felt it was important to also transform. Otherwise, we won't be relevant tomorrow. So last year, we've spent a lot of time, like I mentioned, we've spent a lot of time and investment in AI frameworks and also AI platforms. And we've now focused our capabilities on intelligent products and intelligent platforms. So what we mean by intelligent products is, helping customers in their entire product engineering lifecycle or software development lifecycle, right from building new products to enhancing existing products or even sustaining these products. And how can we leverage AI in all these three initiatives? And the second area is intelligent platforms, where we've chosen five platforms that we want to invest in, and the acquisitions last year, added those two of those five. And these five are, including Salesforce, ServiceNow, Databricks, Snowflake, and HCL, and Commerce. And we're just sort of helping customers, modernize, implement, customize, help them, sort of optimize in these platforms. And so these are the areas that would kind of create a niche for ourselves in a crowded market. Yes, you're right, it is crowded. And so we see ourselves also competing with the larger players, tier one, tier two players. But I think because of our size, we're known to be flexible. Turnaround time is quick. And, our customers like us for our quick turnaround time and our agility. So that's how we're creating a differentiation in the market.
Right. Thank you, Ram, for that elaborate answer. And if I caught that answer correctly, to the previous participant, you mentioned that a bulk of this incremental growth that you see, that you will probably do, will be organic. Is that the right understanding?
Yes, so it will be a mix of organic and inorganic, but obviously organic has to be in the forefront.
Right, right. And so today if I see the verticals that you mentioned in terms of your revenue mix, so in this quest of next 4-5 years, do you see this mix changing, or do you think this mix will broadly be the same? And you have a lot of opportunities to go deeper into your existing clients or existing verticals?
I feel that we have a lot of room to grow in these 4 verticals. So I don't see us adding on at this point in time. I think high-tech is definitely a new area for us. We started working on it and focusing on it only last year. So the market is huge there, and that's why we don't feel that there's a need right now to add on verticals.
Sure. Thank you, ma'am, and all the best for you for this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Jain from Monarch Network Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So actually, continuing with the previous participant's question regarding the strategy, the differentiators. So I just want to get more clarity on when we say intelligence products. So does it mean that are we collaborating with these products like the company for manufacturing these products like Micro? I'm just getting it. So when we say intelligent products, which are our clients in this case?
So when we say intelligent products, it is independent software vendors that we're referring to that will be our customers. And these ISVs, we call them, is, selling products to the market. So, for example, a large ISV would be Salesforce or ServiceNow. Those would be enterprise ISVs. So intelligent products are to ISVs in the space. Did I answer your question? Because the line was a little unclear. So I'm just wondering if I answered the question right.
So I just want to ask that clients in this case, when we mention about intelligence products. So, Hantika, one thing more, that recently one of the peer company has highlighted a major loss, one of their vendor in this case, because of the AI has become a big disruptor, and the contract value has drastically come down. So are we seeing that threat? Because as I said, there are a lot of disruptors which are happening. So how are we preparing ourselves? Because that can hit us as well. So how are we preparing for that?
Yes, definitely AI is a disruptor in the market, but we don't see that situation where it's impacting us. We feel it as more of an opportunity because, we can actually go into a new customer where they have another vendor working for them, and we can disrupt that space by offering them, lower costs or in terms of improved efficiencies over time. So we're taking it as an opportunity right now.
And in terms of hiring, so if you can just highlight whether are we going to, you have highlighted that yes, we are hiring good sales people. But on the engineer side, are we moving upscale, maybe going for some hiring PhDs, going to premier institutes, engineering institutes to get that domain expertise to move up in the value chain?
So Amit, we are hiring across the value chain, and what is working well for us, especially on the engineering side and the AI side, is a lot of work we are doing is building these frameworks in-house, and we have a regular mechanism of training and upskilling our resources. So whilst we might need a hand-picked senior guys who might be required, but at the end of the day, it's more training, learning and development and upskilling our resources, which will ultimately benefit us.
Oh, understood. Just lastly, on the margin side, I can understand and appreciate that, yes, and we don't mind if the operating margin has come down a bit. But is it a new normal going forward? Do we, in our modeling, should we presume that this will be the new normal, maybe the 16-17% band?
Maybe for a year or two, Amit, I would say that it would be a new normal because, like I had said, 5 years back, when we were about 50 million and when we moved up to 100 million of revenues, we were about 12-13% of margins, which went up to 17-18%. So the costs do come in early, but they don't stay along too long when the results start kicking. But I think for the next 12-18 months, it would be realistic to say that this is the new normal.
Thank you so much, Nit, and congratulations once again.
Thank you, Amit. Appreciate it.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Ritika from SR Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. So my first question is, like, any light on account mining strategy?
Yes, we have. I think if you had attended our last earnings call, we were very clear that we have now divided the sales team into account farmers and hunters. So no salesperson is doing both, and that allows them to have a clear focus. So account mining, there's definitely a lot of focus. We have named strategic accounts, and for each strategic account, we have a dedicated client partner close to the customer, so on the ground, meeting the customer on a daily basis. Also a clear strategic plan for them and how do we grow. So yes, there is a clear account mining approach, and focus is given on that front.
Yeah, and also our contribution has reduced in top 5, 10 and 50. So like any specific reasons for that?
No, there is no specific reason. In fact, the focus has been that customers who are in the lower range, we try and bring them up, because as a part of account mining and strategy, we do categorize the customers into ABC category, and those in the B category which have a good potential to grow. The objective is to try and see how we can increase the revenue share from us in them, which is why you would have seen that we also had a new customer in the 500,000 range this time. There is no loss in the existing set of customers. It's just that we are focusing more on, I won't call it the tail, but on the next 10 set of customers whom we can mine and make it more better.
Okay, thank you. Just last question. What is the utilization for this quarter and what is the max that we can do?
So the utilization for the quarter is around 85%. I think, you know, expecting anything beyond that would be definitely challenging. The reason we have also been at around 85% is the attrition levels have been low, and we are investing in, you know, capability and the centers of excellence. There could be quarters because of some efficiency, we could see 100, 150 basis points higher. But I think 85-86% is typically the high end of the utilization for a company of our size.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anjali from Value Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions. One is, could you highlight the reason for increase in DSO from FY24 to 25? How do you expect that moving ahead?
Sorry, can you just come back on the question, please?
Am I audible?
Yeah.
So I was asking for the reason for increase in DSO from FY24 to FY25 and how to expect this going ahead.
I think they've increased almost from 67 days to 74 days. I think those are short-term blips. We really don't think it will go beyond 75 to 80 days. It's also because of the texture of revenues. If you see that the contribution from the Asia-Pacific and other regions is almost 35% plus. So the payment terms in most of the APAC is anywhere between 60 to 90 days, whereas in the US geography, it is 30 to 60 days. So I think 75 to 80 is where the DSO will be there, but nothing of concern.
Sure, thank you for that. And just another one, that I see that the debt has increased despite, we have cash in our balance sheet. So what is the specific reason for the same? And are we expecting to, reduce the debt? And when can we expect that?
Yes, so the increase in debt is a short-term phenomenon because you rightly pointed out there is adequate cash on the balance sheet. The only challenge is it is spread across between the overseas geographies and India. This debt was taken for the acquisition which we did in October of last year. But it is short-term and we strongly believe that in the next 6 to 9 months, they should be repaid off. So it's basically a short-term debt.
Sure. That was helpful. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harris Ahmed, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm just trying to understand about the company's current operations. So we have always mentioned that we want to increase our exposure to US, but our contribution remains around 42%. So can we expect this to change going ahead?
Yes, yes, Harish, we can. We can definitely expect it to increase. Our focus is all US-centric. All our efforts is towards the US market, and that's where we feel there's great potential. So you will see an increase in that region.
Okay, thank you. And I had one more question. So we were not able to add any large deals, I mean deals above $1 million, if I'm not wrong. So going forward in FY26, can we hope for a change in this, like any larger deals in that aspect?
Yes, that's our focus and that's the plan. We, in most of our engagements, we start small. So if we started with a new customer or, a new project or new space of service, we start small and we showcase our capability and then we have a larger deal. But now we're trying to change our approach and trying to start with larger deals because our target market would have also increased. So yes, that's the plan. Pipeline should have more larger deals.
Okay. Thank you for the response and that answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Miloni Mehta from Minaj Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Can you throw some light on discretionary spending across vertical and how has it been on the macro level? Also, I want to understand what percentage of a business is dependent on discretionary spending.
Not much. We are not seeing any impacts on the discretionary spend. Right now conversations are happening, pipeline is building. So at this point in time, we're quite positive.
And overall, how has it been across the vertical? I mean, is there any slowdown in any of the verticals or how is the trend? Can you put some light on that?
No slowdown in all four verticals. You know, we have a healthy pipeline in all four, a lot of conversations. And, you know, the BFS and the emerging verticals, you know, I don't see any impact. And, you know, the industry is strong and customers are, you know, speaking to us about many conversations in the roadmap.
Okay. And secondly, on financial point of view, I see that there is an increase in our third-party charges. So moving ahead, should we consider this as the run rate or what has changed there? Can you throw some light there?
Yeah, actually when you're saying that you're seeing a spike in the third-party charges, it's actually a regrouping from the other expenses line to the third-party charges, because these are some of we have partnered with, you know, some of the tools and licenses like the HCL, the Salesforce, the business objects. And when there is a sale of these which happen to the customers, these are, you know, predominantly in relation to third-party licenses which are bought and sold. So the regrouping has been done in the right line today. Earlier it used to be a very insignificant component, but since the amount was slightly higher this year, it has been regrouped. And like you rightly said, it would be more appropriate to treat this as the basis for your forecasting going forward.
Okay, thank you. I just have one more question from the cash flow point of view. I see that we have sold some 17.5 crore of investment. So what is this exactly?
We have not sold investments. See, what has happened is, at a group level, if you've been following, we have merged three of our subsidiaries, DreamOrbit, 360 Logica, and TerraFirst. These subsidiaries, which were acquired way back in 2014 and 16, they have been merged with Paxoff Limited. Now, whatever liquid funds were there, pre-merger, we had to liquidate it as a part of the process so that the transfer between the companies happens easily. So it's just the liquid investments which were sitting in some mutual funds were liquidated and have been reinvested. They are not any third-party investments as such.
Okay, okay, that clears my doubt. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
We thank everyone for taking our time to participate in this call and for their interest in SACSoft. I hope we've been able to answer your queries. In case of any other questions, please reach out to us or our investor relations advisor, Valrum Advisors. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.